Hello, Olson. This is a rare occurrence of an episode.
What do you mean, rare occurrence of an episode? I'm always here.
Well, we're here, actually, kind of together, but not together.
So close yet so far. Oh my god, Jeffrey, so dramatic.
I know, it's so weird finally being back in the same city. And, you know, because we're finally doing another in-person episode, I feel like we need to go back to our old tradition of opening Tim Hortons hockey card packs, because they're back, baby.
Oh, we're starting it right off with that, huh?
Yeah, I know we've both eagerly already opened our pack to make it easier so we're not making crinkly sounds during the episode. But yeah, each pack at Tim Hortons, we are not being paid by Tim Hortons, but we will advertise that each hockey card pack is $1.99, but if you buy it with a drink, it's only $1. So we each got a pack here, and we're going to see which players we got. I feel like I've had pretty good pack luck recently. I think last year I got that McDavid, like, see-through, like, special card. So I'm hoping this year I've got the same amount of pack luck.
Hey, Tim Hortons, if you want to sponsor the Bag of Pucks podcast with your hockey cards, reach out to us at BOP_POD. I guess, I don't know about Jeffrey, but I am willing to sell out.
Yes, for our hockey cards, yes, I'm always willing to sell out. All right, shall we, why don't you start off with your first card in your pack?
Is that a nice base Chandler Stephenson? Not the biggest fan, because you know me. Like, I'll be honest with you, I've opened my pack. Two of these cards make me cringe as a LA Kings fan.
Oh, well, I mean, Chandler Stephenson, like, I don't know, is he a good player? Is he kind of like a Chris Kunitz, where he's just kind of been, like, besides good players, and then he looks okay?
I think it comes down to it. He's just not healthy often enough. You know what I mean? In six seasons, he's gotten 260 games out of what? What's 6 times 82? 300-something games? He's just not healthy often enough. He plays 60 to 65 games a year. I mean, that's just the issue, I think. And especially, okay, so I think it comes down to the last 2 years since he joined the Golden Knights, like half the players on that team that joined that team, they became really good, but at the same time, they are hurt. I think that's the issue with this team.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's kind of been pushed up to play into the top six, even though he's probably not suited for that role, but, you know, he's taking it, you know, by the horns, and, you know, he's been a decent player. My first card, I'm surprised he has a card, actually. Good old Carey Price apparently gets a card this season. Not sure about that.
How happy does that make you feel?
Well, I saw the Habs logo. I was like, oh, who on the Habs is getting a card this season? And it comes with Carey Price. You know, good old last year. Actually, no. It doesn't even have last year's... wait, does it? This is supposed to have the 21-22 stats, or is it just the 2021?
I don't think they have last year's stats. I think they probably took the stats when they were putting the cards together.
Probably, but yeah, no, it's still got his 2020-21 stats of playing those just the 25 games. And I think last year, didn't he only play like 5 games or something? So maybe like this card didn't even need to be edited from last season. It's just maybe a new picture, maybe like a new format, new design. But yeah, you know, he gets another Carey Price. I have another Carey Price hockey card.
Is it possible you've gotten the last Carey Price card?
I would think so. Because I'm just trying to think, like, do you think there's like somewhere, did they, like, the bigger sets, do you think they made like a Brent Seabrook Tampa Bay card, or like a Brian Little Arizona card, or a Ben Bishop, you know, say, I feel like the really obscure ones, probably not, but like, I don't know. I think because Carey Price is still in Montreal, I feel like they can find some picture where they can, you know, make a card out of it, probably. I think maybe not the last one, but maybe the second last one.
Well, I think it comes down to just, like, there's no pictures of Brent Seabrook in Tampa Bay, or, you know, Vegas, Shea Weber in Vegas, whatever, right? There's pictures of Carey Price on the Habs.
Yeah, no, I agree, yeah.
So that changes a lot, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's why I'm going to say second to last, but, I mean... I'm really hoping it, you know, he's got a couple more cards coming out, but you know, it's hard to say given his injuries.
All right, who's your second card, Jeffrey?
My second card is another good old Canadian team, another good old Canadian boy. He's from Sainte-Marie, Quebec. He's good old Thomas Chabot of the Ottawa Senators. You know, he's again, like, I thought, isn't it supposed to be like your like jersey number should be the card number as well, or have they kind of changed that as well? Because Chabot wears 72, but the card number is 69. So I thought they would keep it the same. But, you know, Thomas Chabot, I think this season's kind of like where he really needs to be like that driving force, like especially like all the young defensemen Ottawa's got in its system. I think they need a guy to like kind of lead them forward. Like Jake Sanderson, I think he's taking steps. He's kind of growing slowly into his NHL role. Like, we're not expecting him to be, you know, like a Calder Trophy candidate right off the bat, but he's going to go through some growing pains. You know, Eric Branstrom's still there. They've got guys like Lassie Thompson and Bernard Docker like coming up, but I think they need a guy like Chabot to like really hold down the fort. And, you know, he's having a decent season so far, but I think the success for Ottawa is really going to come down to decor, and basically their main part of their decor is Chabot. So I'd say a pretty good pull here, Chabot.
I'm going to make you guess the next card I have. I would say he's a team that I dislike and is a player with the biggest breakout season last year. The biggest breakout player last year.
Huh, that's not a lot to go off of. Could you give me his stats, just like his last season's like games played, goals, assists, PIMs, yep, or whatever they are?
75 games played, 37 goals, 30 assists, 26 penalty minutes, minus 11.
Ooh, that's it's not many.
He is a winger.
Can I? I don't know. It has been a breakout. Is it Timo Meier?
No, his 20. So last year, so 2021-22, he had 67.75 games. Year before that, 2020-2021, he had 7 goals, 13 assists, in 48 games.
Is this Tage Thompson then?
No. Think about a team that I dislike.
Well, normally it's just Vegas and San Jose. Trying to think if there's another team that you really, really hate.
Oh no, I don't really hate them. It's just a natural rivalry. Let's go with that. That should make it easy for you.
To the Kings?
Yes.
Oh goodness.
Here's a better one. He played on the Olympic team in 2018.
For Canada?
For USA. For USA. So the American winger who scored 37 goals last year.
Oh.
I think he's on a steal of a contract. He's being paid $1.45 million.
Troy Terry?
Yes, sir. Got a Troy Terry card. Natural rivalry, you know, Ducks and Kings. I don't know. I think this is also probably, like, this is his last season is probably the exact reason why he's got a card, right?
Well, like, you mean like a Tim's card?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure he's gotten, like, you know, other cards, you know, like Anaheim Ducks team cards, you know, he's on had those. But his breakout last year is the reason why he got a Tim's card this year.
Yeah, no, like if you hit 30 goals, you should get a Tim's card. But, I remember him back in the juniors. Like, I think, was he like a fourth or a fifth round pick? Like, not a very high pick, but like, he was kind of like a better version of like a Zach Hyman, where like he was a kind of do it all guy, like hard on the puck, you know, hard on the walls, like competitive, you know, willing to do what needs to be done. And, you know, he kind of grinded his way into that top six role and then exploded last season. So, you know, good on him. I'm not sure if he's going to reach the same heights as he did last season, but like I didn't even realize like 2 years ago he only scored like what 7 goals, he said. Like that doesn't seem very Troy Terry-esque at all, like to go from 7 to 37.
Yeah, fifth round pick. Do you know who the next pick is? The next pick is someone who's bounced around the league a bit the last couple of years, but he was drafted by the Canucks. He was like a pretty solid prospect for the Canucks. He currently plays on the Marlies after spending last year with Chicago and Ottawa. Solid third, fourth, maybe fourth line center. American as well.
I want to say Adam Gaudette.
Yes, sir. Jeffrey's on a roll today. Let's continue the roll. What's your final card, Jeffrey?
My final card is one of those... it's probably not one of the... Because I think every box has... Or every pack has a special card. I don't feel like this is a really, really big special card, but it's a Hockey Triumphs Kevin Fiala, former Minnesota Wild, current LA King. The back says, Fiala's third goal of the 2020-2021 campaign gave the Wild a 2-0 first period lead en route to a 5-3 win over the visiting Kings.
Shh, you don't talk about that. I've got Matthews with the Habs. Matthew records his fourth career 40-goal season against the Habs. You'll love to see it. Nick Suzuki looks so dejected.
Is it a Hockey Triumphs card too?
Yes, sir.
So I'm guessing these are probably one of the least rare special cards, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I assume so. We both get it, you know. What are the odds of the two packs that we get? We get something super valuable? I don't think so.
No, but, you know, I love hockey cards. I'm going to need to put them back in their pack and then store them properly with the rest of my cards in a bit. But, you know, I always love Tim's. Tim's cards is the only time when I go to Tim's regularly to buy drink, so then I can also get a pack of hockey cards.
Please, Tim's, please sponsor us. Jeffrey is willing to sell out.
Well, you said you're willing to sell out too. So it's just not me here. It's everyone at the Bag of Pucks podcast.
And with that, let's start the show proper, shall we?
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. So this is going to be a very, I don't know how to put this, not very, less hockey podcast, but more of a Jeffrey and Olsen episode, in the sense that we'll be talking about hockey, right? You're not going to hear what our favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe is, but it's going to be stuff that, you know, like, we may talk about that's kind of off the ice more than on the ice. Don't get me wrong, we'll still talk about on the ice, but like the off the ice, as in Jeffrey's hockey cards and my love for reverse retro jerseys. Yay! So 32 reverse retros got released this year again. There's some hits and I think more a few misses. And don't get me wrong, I think a lot of them are nice, but last year's reverse retros were so nice that the expectations are a little higher this year, and I think I'm a little disappointed. Jeff, have you seen them?
I did. I did see like a tier list of the reverse retro jerseys, and I feel like a lot of them should be, I feel like they should all be thrown in the dumpster. There's quite a few where I'm like, okay, these are, like, just awful. Like, I know, you know, as the NHL, you're trying to make money, so you got to sell all these, like, new jerseys and, like, new designs. But you just released reverse retro jerseys last season. Like, could you not come up with, like, another idea besides trying to do, like, reverse retros again? Like, I feel like they've just run out of ideas. And in some cases, I feel like they just copied, right? Like, there's, like, no innovation at all. It's just copy, paste, here's a new jersey.
Well, I mean, okay. Any one that kind of stands out for you, either in a good way or a bad way? Let's start with the positive. What stands out with you in a good way?
I'm indifferent to the Seattle Kraken reverse retro. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I do like the design. It's not awful, but like they also don't have a lot to work with. Like there's no like retro part of a team or a franchise that's 1 year old, right? But I think, you know, I'm trying to find like one jersey that's like really, really good. Maybe like I find the Wild always have like really good jerseys. But like realistically, the Minnesota Wild jersey is kind of just like the inverse of last year's reverse retro. It's like the home or the away version of last year's. Like, I still think the color scheme is great. I think the design's great, but there's just no innovation at all. But like if like one that just it just stands out because I always like the Wild jerseys, but there's just not a lot to be hyped about these reverse retros.
I think Wild was good last year, so they kind of just continued it. So I don't know how I feel about it. The Kings ones always slap. Don't even deny it. They fucking slap. Sorry, they freaking slap. I don't like the ones that just have words across it. Like the Vegas one, oh, it's cool. They glow in the dark. I also understand, like, hey, they don't have a really reverse stuff to really work with. But I don't know. I don't like the ones that were, like, the words down the middle, and that's it. Like, I'm fine with the St. Louis ones. The Vegas one, I don't like. I don't like Detroit. No. I get it. It's supposed to be inspired by the Detroit Cougars, but not a fan if it just says Detroit on there. I understand you probably don't have much leeway with Chicago. So I get it. That one I'm a bit more okay with, but I don't like it. And the Canes one, I just don't like jerseys that just say the team name on the front or city in the front. Those are not good. Those I just don't like. Am I out of line to say the Anaheim Ducks one looks super nice?
No, I don't think you're out of line at all. I feel like they kind of at least like heard what the assignment was and was looking to make a reverse retro jersey. Like, I think the logo's sick. I mean, I think you'd hope, like, there's more than just the logo. So, I think it's a good, like, logo, but I think the rest of the jersey could use a little work. Like, I feel like it could end up being very dull on the ice, like, just having so much white. But, you know, I think, you know, they at least understood what the point of, like, making a reverse retro jersey, right? Like, I get the lettering because, like, a lot of the old school jerseys have like that diagonal like team name across the chest and stuff, so I kind of get that for the reverse retro. But like the Ducks, yeah, I agree with you, at least that one, like, it looks like a good jersey, like something that someone would want to buy.
Like, as a Kings fan, I would wear the Ducks jersey maybe. So this one, I think I like the Jets one, but the Heritage Classic jerseys were just so nice. Like, they're so nice that, like, anything with the retro logo doesn't work as well.
Yeah, like, I find, like, maybe there's just not enough. I don't know. Like, to me, like, with these reverse retro jerseys, I just feel like it's just too soon to, like, release another one where there's just no more ideas anymore. Like, I think that, I don't know, like, it's either they change a color here or change a color there. They move the stripes up a little higher. They move them a little bit lower. There's just not a lot of innovation anymore. And like you want to see them at least give it a try, but like some of these just look bad. Like, I don't know. I feel like this year, like, these jerseys are not going to sell. And I think the NHL is going to realize, okay, maybe we need to come up with like another concept. But no, I think like, yeah, the Jets, the Wild, like, the ones that like kind of looked good in the past, they're still okay, but there's definitely a lot, like, I don't know, like the Leafs one, I think everyone has the most problems with, because I think people were, I think they just didn't do anything. They just literally were like, oh, it's kind of like, oh, the assignment is due in like 5 minutes. I need to submit something. Okay, I'm just going to submit what I already have, which is literally the same Leafs jersey.
I mean, yeah. No, I think you're right on that one. Is it bad that I don't like? So I don't like the Seattle Kraken jersey, just because it's, well, you don't really have anything to reverse retro, so why even bother?
Well, I think the main concept people thought they might go with was go back to the Metropolitans, maybe like back from like the 20s or however long that was, but I don't know. I feel like, yeah, if you don't have much to work with, like, kind of like Vegas too, right? Like, if you don't have much to work with, just go standard, do the letters across the like do a nice diagonal one and then just call it a day and be like, at least you tried, right? Like, I don't know. I'm fairly disappointed. I think the two jerseys, I think that are probably the most innovative. Would you say the Florida one? That one's kind of like very innovative. And then maybe, I don't know if you consider it innovative, but like the Montreal one where they just were like, hey, let's just use blue as our base color and just put the logo on the front.
So very meh on the Habs, but I think I appreciate the Florida one a lot. Like very similarly to like I appreciate like the Sharks or maybe even I don't know the Canucks. I think the Canucks is a good one. They took a gamble, they took a risk, and even though it may not have worked very well, I'm very on the Panthers as well. But they took a risk, and at least it. You know, it's not the same boring jersey. Like, look at the Flyers one. That one is a very boring jersey. They took a risk. I'm willing to have more leeway with it because they took a risk.
Yeah, I think it's, like, it's unique enough that, like, people will be interested in buying it because it's not the same old jersey that, like, maybe all the other jerseys would look like. So, yeah, like, I appreciate the risk. I don't know yet about these, like, baby blues or like sky blues on these jerseys. I think it all depends how it looks on the ice to me, but I feel like the Florida one, yeah, they took a risk. We'll see how these jerseys work. I don't know if they've released the schedule yet of or like when teams are going to wear them, but definitely interesting to see them actually on, when the players wear them and are on the ice.
Yeah, man. You know, speaking of on the ice, let's actually talk about what's going on the ice for now, for once, Jeffrey, should we?
Fine, we'll talk about actual hockey. We'll stop talking about this off the ice issues.
Okay, fine. We'll do one that's kind of both, okay?
Sure.
Are you surprised that Toronto media hasn't started freaking out that Austin Matthews only has one goal yet?
I thought they have, or at least I know in my household, my family's freaking out that Matthews has only scored one goal in 5 games.
Well, I think the main focus still is on Sheldon Keefe and be like, ooh, can he handle it as a team? You know, what's going on? And less so on like individual performances.
Yeah, well, I think there was a stat because like last year, Matthew started out slow too. Like I think he had like a fairly similar shooting percentage in the 5%, 6% at the beginning of the season. And, you know, he still ended up with 60 goals. So I think people aren't too worried, so maybe that's why the media is not reporting it as much. But, you know, I feel like it's within reason to say, like, if he doesn't really pick it up and like at the end of this road trip, if he's still like at 2-3 goals by the end of this road trip with the Leafs, I think that's when you're going to start seeing more articles and posts being like, hey, like, something wrong with Matthews, you know, oh, he finally wins the Hart Trophy and the Rocket Richard, so now he doesn't care anymore. He's got those accolades. He's, you know, just going right off into the sunset type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's, there's still that. And then, this has been a big surprise for me as well, the Vancouver Canucks. Like, I think that they were able to deflect a lot of the attention. They get a lot of the attention, and that deflects a lot off the Leafs, just because of how troublesome the Vancouver Canucks are.
Yeah, like, They still haven't won, have they?
0-3-2, I think, right?
Yeah, like they're not. I don't know. I think it's a surprise that they haven't won. Maybe I think we knew they were going to be like a bubble team. Like we're not really sure if they're probably going to maybe compete for the playoffs, but it's, you know, 50-50 on whether they make the playoffs or not. But yeah, like Vancouver, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think, like, maybe Bruce Boudreau doesn't have that same, you know, touch anymore. Like, last season when he came in, like, that was just kind of like that, like, jolting or, like, kicking the ass for them to, like, you know, get things going. But, you know, they're starting out the season not great. They've got pretty much the same team, I want to say, like, compared to last year. They had a guy like Mikheyev. I'm just trying to think, like, what's different from this team that's making them this bad? And I can't really pinpoint exactly why they're not doing so well.
Well, I think for one, they can't seem to hold leads.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't it like they let in like they've all the, like four losses in a row. They gave up like multi goal leads and like that. I don't know. Is that a coaching problem or is that the player problem? Like being able to hold the lead. I feel like it's a coaching problem, right? Like the coach needs to be able to like keep the team focused and like, you know. I don't know. It's kind of like from now, like we all know, like the two goal lead is always the most dangerous league in the world because it's people think it's safe, but it's not really safe because the team can score and then it's back to a very competitive game. But I think the Canucks, they've just taken that like completely, like all the way to the other side. Right now, it's like yeah, they have a two goal lead. Oh, we know they're gonna lose right away.
Well, I think part of it is a mindset problem, right? Like you mentioned, so it's trying to figure out how to keep that team focused, keep the mindset positive. And yeah, like, I don't know. But that's a team that needs to figure it out, right? Like, that's a team that's built for now. You don't take on Oliver Ekman-Larsson's contract for the future.
Yeah, and then they re-signed, like, JT Miller in the offseason after, like, what seemed like ages of, like, oh, they were going to trade him. Like, yeah, this is a team that needs to figure it out. They've been playing with their lines quite a bit, trying to figure out what's the best match. I think they're trying to go for, like, three scoring lines. But I don't know. I feel like they really need to be like, okay, let's actually, like, you know, have, like, two, like, really strong lines. Maybe a third line that's not as great. Maybe more focused on checking. And then a fourth line just to, like, give our players, like, some rest. Just to, like, put them on the ice and just hopefully they don't give up too many goals. Like, I think that needs to be the focus for Vancouver now.
But here's the thing, though. I think part of it also is this is the team that famously is going in with zero cap space. Like, $0.
Like, I think the team itself, like, I don't think they need to make, per se, like, any big changes in personnel. But, like, I think they just need to figure out the lines a little bit. And, like, try to make it more, like, I don't know. It just seems to be, like, that trend where everyone wants to go, like, three, four lines deep. But, like, maybe, like, if you're having trouble, like, you know, performing, like, as a team, like, with team play, like, maybe instead of spreading it all out, like, make a couple of lines where you feel more confident in, and then maybe the lines that you're not confident in, maybe you just, you know, skip a shift here or there, you know, double shift a couple other guys that you feel more confident with. Like you take a look at Calgary, right? Like, Calgary is, like, the epitome of, like, Daryl Sutter hockey, where, like, yes, Huberto, yes, you might have scored 100 slaying points last season, but here, you can play 50 minutes a game still, right? Like, I don't know. It's interesting, I think, the trend of just these trying to go as deep as you can, like, in terms of your lines, but sometimes you just need to, you know, try and build a more conventional team where you have your top six and then your bottom six is more, like, depth, but also, like, checking.
Okay, so enough about me talking about the big surprises. Is there any surprises for you so far before I continue my surprises?
For me, like, I don't know. Would you consider, like, Montreal? I would say they're a little bit of a surprise. I think everyone kind of, like, immediately wrote them off. Like, I picked up Jake Allen in my fantasy drafts, and I was like, you know, like, I know he was going to get starts, but probably he's not going to, you know, win a ton of games. He'll probably let in a whole bunch of goals. But, you know, with the Habs right now, they're in a solid spot, you know, 3-2. I think they're in a playoff spot right now, even though, you know, super early in the season. But, you know, we knew they were going to have trouble scoring goals, but this is a team that they've kept games close, at least, which I think I expected them, but I didn't think they were going to, you know, keep games close, but then win, like, at least half of them. I thought they would probably, like, lose at least, like, two-thirds of them. But, I mean, they beat the Pens, which I think is huge, given, like, the Pens are, like, top in the Metro. They beat the Leafs on opening night. I think if you were a betting man, I think, like, you would put all your money on the Leafs to win that game, but the Habs came out, and, you know, I'm surprised that they're doing so well. I'm hoping they can keep this going, and then maybe I can trade Jake Allen in my fantasy league for some surplus value. But I'm excited to see what's happening with Habs. I'm saying they're a sneaky playoff team. They've got a good team. They just The defense, you know, they've got maybe 3-4 rookies there, maybe, or it's a little bit more sketchy. But you know, this is a team that's going to surprise, I think.
So with the Habs, right? I think the big question mark was, and it still remains, the goaltending, right? Like, as long as Jake Allen plays well, like, I can't see why this team can't be solid. I still don't see them being a, you know, playoff contender, but you know, it's not bad. But at the same time, remember, Jake Allen has a 9.38 save percentage, right? But at the same time, I mean, it looks like right now everything's clicking. I mean, can't complain about that. It's a good team, a better team than I thought they would. You know, some surprises there. I think the big surprise for me is Sean Monahan, first line minutes, the guy who couldn't play, who was playing on the fourth line for the Calgary Flames. Like, that's a big surprise for me. And again, goaltending, right? I did not expect, you know, Jake Allen to be having a 2.02, 938, and Sam Montembeau with a 912, 248. Like, that's beyond my expectation, right? This team is not supposed to be this good.
Yeah, no. And, like, I think they're, like, if you look at your defense, like, guys who've played more than one season, David Savard and Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman was not even in the league two seasons ago. Like, this decor is very, very inexperienced. But, you know, Jake Allen, you know, he's looking good. You know, they've got great forward depth. I'm just excited. I'm just here along for the ride, and just excited to see them play some, you know, possibly some May hockey. I'm excited. They're kind of my big surprise team right now.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I think the grief I've given the Habs for a long time is that they can't develop players. I mean, it's starting to look like it's a tired and wrong saying, right? Like, Caulfield's developing well. Jordan Harris coming onto the scene here, you know. Kane Gooley, first round pick as well. Like, they're starting to actually develop players, which, you know what? Like I said, they might actually be breaking that tired stereotype that I keep giving them.
Yes, you need to take back all the bad words that you called the Habs. Who's your other big surprise team?
Does it have to be a team or can it be a player?
Because we're on the Bag of Pucks podcast, you can choose whatever you want.
Oof. Gabe Vilardi. I got to throw in a king whenever I can, right? He's already matched last year's totals in 6 games. He had 5 goals, 2 assists in 25 games last year for the Los Angeles Kings. Plays really well in the AHL, right? Almost a point of the game in the AHL. But in the NHL, he's been hot. 7 points in 6 games. I mean, for a guy who has struggled with injuries and the perception of being injury prone, it's been a good year. I mean, at the end of the day, he signed a 1-year, I would argue probably a prove it / playing for his NHL career deal, in the sense that if he struggles mightily again this year, he may have gotten another deal, but it would probably be a 2-way with a larger minor salary deal, right? But you know, he signed for less than his qualifying offer. That's a sign on its own right there. His QO should have been 874, 125. He signed for 825. Like, that should probably tell you what the expectations were for this guy this year. And he has broken out. I know it's early, but I'm excited as a Kings fan because this is a guy where everyone's very excited for when he got drafted 11th overall in 2017, but has really struggled with injuries. But I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think playing beside Byfield, I think if you're a Kings fan or in Kings management, if, you know, Byfield and Vilardi can, you know, build up some type of chemistry, like, that's a nice 1-2 combo. I think, well, Vilardi was drafted as a center prospect, but, you know, maybe, like, having a Byfield Vilardi together, like, you know, they can both, you know, play face-offs on their strong sides, maybe. Like, this could be, like, a good combo going forward. I am a little bit worried because Iafallo just got injured, and I feel like it was, like, he kind of gave them a little bit more protection almost, like, just gave them a little bit more that veteran presence. So I wonder if we might see him drop off a little bit, maybe. But he's in a good situation, right? Like, you've got Philippe Deneau and Kopitar there have to take some of the heavier minutes in terms of, like, the competition. So, you know, Velarde can and Byfield can feast a little bit on some weaker competition. But, yeah, good on him, you know. Like to say he's also, I believe he's a former Frontenac as well. So I think I've seen him play more recently than you have. I would say that also.
He is, I think his draft year was a Kingston Frontenac. Or the year after he's drafted, sorry. That's my big surprise. You know, I had to throw an LA King there, Jeffrey. Come on, like, obviously. The other one for me is David Krejci. Played in Czech last year and wasn't even a point of game player. And I would say in Olsen's theory, this is one of Olsen theories where it's like, you know, the top league is the NHL. Then I would say maybe not even I'd say the SHL now just because, you know, what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. I'm not going to get into it, but everyone knows. So I'd say SHL, then the KHL or AHL/KHL. I think it's probably similar now. And then you got a couple of leagues to go there until you get to the Czech league, right? So he couldn't even be he wasn't even a point of game player in the Czech league, but he comes back. He seems like he's clicking, and I'm surprised for that. I think this is the last hurrah for the Boston Bruins. The last time the gang kind of goes together here. And he's outperforming my expectations. I was thinking maybe he'd be good for 35 to 40 points. But at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised with 55 to 60 points. He's playing second line with Taylor Hall and David Pastrnak. You could argue that's probably more what the first line should be compared to Zaka, Bergeron, and DeBrusque, but he's surprised me.
Well, I think we need to remember the fact was, like, Krejci going to Czech Republic wasn't because no team wanted him or he wasn't good enough for the NHL, right? Like, it was with the pandemic. He realized he wanted to spend time with his family more. So then that's why he moved back home and then played in the Czech league. And yes, he wasn't a point of game player, but that might not be because he wasn't good is maybe because his team wasn't really good. Like, I think we knew when Krejci was coming back, probably he's not going to be a 70-point guy, but I didn't think it would be that low, like what you were saying before, like 30, 40. I definitely saw, like, a 50-point guy. But, you know, it's still early in the season. Like, I don't think he's point per game throughout the rest of the season, but I think he's a great steal for Boston. I mean, a guy who's getting paid $1 million this season. Granted, he probably got like a whole bunch of performance bonuses that he'll easily meet, and then Boston's going to pay that out. But, like, honestly, like, I don't know if this is considered the last hurrah. Like, if Bergeron and Krejci are taking these types of deals, I think if Boston is close enough to the playoffs, like, where they feel like, okay, we can still make another run at it, I think they still go to Bergeron and Krejci and be like, hey, one last ride, let's go for it. And I would be surprised if we see both of them again in a Bruins uniform next year.
Well, I think the point of, like, it's a last hurrah is the sense that Pastrnak deals up, Foligno's up, Zaka's up, Smith, Bergeron, Nushek, Frederick, Krejci. Like, everyone's, all the forwards deals are up, right? And Jeremy Swayman will need a new deal next year, right? Like, Pastrnak and Swayman, the two of them are going to take a significant chunk of their cap space.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, but, like, we've seen people in Boston take less than what they would make on the open market. I don't see Swayman taking, like, a huge deal either. I mean, like, the money that you've given up, you're going to get back by giving away Foligno, like, letting Foligno walk in free agency next year. I think they're going to have cap space. And if Bergeron and Krejci are freaking going to take $1 million contracts this season, you'll take that any day because... No, I understand. Yeah, like the way their cap structure is set up, it looks like they've got just one last hurrah. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if they sign like a couple of guys to be like core players for the future, but then you still get like two guys in Krejci and Bergeron to just maybe not 1-2 anymore. Maybe they'll end up being 2-3 if they sign like a big name center. But I don't know. This team just seems primed to be like hey, let's run it back again one more time. Let's keep doing it until Bergeron and Krejci finally say, you know what, it's time to retire.
All right. Yeah. No, those were my surprises and disappointments. Anything for you, Jeffrey?
Nope. That's pretty much it. I guess the one last thing, I guess it might be a surprise. I do have a second pack of Tim's card here. Do I open it now or should we save it for the next week's episode?
Whatever your heart desires.
I think since this pack is in front of me, and I'm actually kind of disappointed in my pack early, I think I have to open this one just to, you know, make me feel a little bit better. That's the one thing with packs. When you get disappointed, you just want to open more and more and more. Like, I wouldn't be surprised after Alston that I might have to go buy another pack later today.
Wow, look at this ASMR for Jeffrey opening packs.
Can you hear it?
If this goes well, we can maybe have a second podcast where it's Jeffrey just doing ASMR.
Well, I would just do an entire episode on just opening packs. Like, just me just, like, ripping packs. Maybe we even have, like, a video. People can finally see who we are, but I don't know yet. But it's not a bad pack here. We've got a good old Aaron Ekblad base card. Sucks that he's injured, but I think Florida, they've got some good players there to kind of cover for him. Got another right-handed D in Matt Dumba. I don't know. I feel like Matt Dumba has he kind of fallen off to the wayside in Minnesota? Because, like, Kalen Addison's now, like I don't know, like, what is Matt Dumba's role now? Like, is he, like, a top four defenseman? Is he a top two defenseman? Is he a power play quarterback, a penalty kill specialist? I don't know what his role is anymore.
A veteran presence, maybe? Like, I think he's still a good defenseman. Don't get me wrong. He just, you know, I think for the longest time, there was nothing to really be excited about with that team. And we never knew where they were going. You know, were they going to be going up or going down? I think this year is finally the year they may trade him. I think we've heard him be like, oh, he's going to get traded for so many years now. I think this is the year that he might get traded. Just with the fact that his contract's ending, and we all know it's going to be a mess with the Minnesota Wild's cap next year. You know, a Matt Dumba trade gets you maybe some more picks that you can use to supplement your team with. And especially when you have a guy like Kalen Addison who could probably replace Matt Dumba, I think he's gone this year. And by the end of this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. Unless, like, the Wild are in the playoff chase. Maybe that's the only reason why, but yeah, like I could see like Bill Guerin trading him for some like I don't know some like cost controlled, young forward or something, or like someone that can like at least get them over the hump for over the next few years while they deal with the buyout cap hits from a Parisian suitor. And then my last card is a Superstars Chris Kreider. Yeah, he's always been a guy that I think we knew he was a really good player, but he was always injured. And, you know, there was never really any good centers on New York until, like, Zibanejad came. And last year was kind of like the year where everything clicked, where he was healthy. New York was finally, like, a pretty good team. And, you know, he kind of exploded. And I don't know. I still remember when he crashed into Carey Price and injured him. And that kind of set the story of, you know, Price being a little bit more injury prone than he was at the beginning of his career. But, you know, he's like that weird, like, speedy power forward who's just got a great shot. So, you know, good old nice superstar Chris Kreider card.
Yeah, my views on Chris Kreider has been long noted too. Yeah, that's all I had for this week. Jeffrey, you got anything?
Nope, I'm happy with the superstar Chris Kreider card. That's a nice special card. It's better than those hockey triumphs.
All right. That's probably a good place to call it an episode then.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week then. Or the week after. Or whenever. I don't know. Every 2 weeks maybe.
Every 2 weeks. I think that's probably where we're going to go.
All right. Talk to you guys in 2 weeks then.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks Podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us?
You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.